Do I do something?
Blog Talk Radio.
Grace to you, peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome you to another episode of Evangelize for Life, hosted by Stephen Glover, yours truly, and co-hosted by Robin Glover, who is currently on the air with us. We thank you for joining us again, and we pray that you will share the gospel and continue to evangelize until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes. But before we get started today, we'll be looking at the topic of false prophets and false teachers. We'll take some time here to examine the scriptures and to see what they say regarding the false teachings that we hear today. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you again for the time to examine your word and to reveal your truths that are eternal, that are infallible. We pray, dear God, that you will just be with us now. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We pray that you'll be magnified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you again for being with us. I wanted to begin today by reading a scripture verse that's found in Ezekiel chapter 44, and this is the Levitical priest in the sanctuary of God ministering to God, and this is what he says regarding their responsibility. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23 says, "Moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." So God is telling his people, telling his Levitical priests, that they are to instruct the people to know the difference between what is clean and what is unclean. And that is what the word discern means, is being able to choose something that is good over something that is bad. And that is something that God has instructed believers to do, according to, I believe, 1 Corinthians, that we are to, or 1 Thessalonians, we are to examine everything carefully. We are to cling to that which is good, and we are to shun or to push away from that which is evil. And so, based on our past conversations, and especially we had talked about Mormonism, and we're going to get into some of the false teachings, some of the occult throughout the week, we are to cling to the Bible, because the Bible is what reveals to us what is true and what is false. How do we know false prophets? How do we know false teaching? How do we know false religion? It comes from examining the Word of God. And one of the verses that I wanted us to look at today before we get into one of the cults that's rising, one of the biggest cults that is out there, one of the biggest false religions that we hear about every single day, is Islam. And so we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about Islam and all the other cults. Beginning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So John, the Apostle John, in this first epistle, is clearly laying out the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And he begins by saying, do not believe every spirit. The reason why he says that, because you've got demonic spirits and you've got this Holy Spirit. The demonic spirit are the ones that is responsible for producing false prophets. Demonic spirits are responsible for producing false religion. When you look at the teachings of the Quran, you see that Muhammad was foaming at the mouth when he was revealing or receiving insight from this spirit. Now, I've got two books here. One talks about, it's called Unveiling Islam. That's written by Emir and Ergun Kanner. And they outline the experience that Muhammad had when he supposedly was receiving the Quran. And it very clearly teaches that he was foaming at the mouth. He was laying on the floor and he was shuddering because this spirit, quote unquote, the spirit of Gabriel, was speaking to him. Now, in the book I'd mentioned before, this was the Fast Facts on False Teachings that was written by Ron Carlson and Ed Decker that I mentioned when we were discussing Mormonism. This is what has to say about Muhammad and him receiving the revelation that came, that eventually became the Quran. It says, after meditating there off and on for 2 years, this is Muhammad had retreated, had gone to some caves and was meditating off and on for 2 or 3 years, Muhammad received revelations during which he would go into epileptic fit. This is what the Muslims believe they were. He would shake, he would perspire, he would foam at the mouth. Whether they were epileptic or not, or even demonic, he claimed that he received revelations from an angel of light. The author says, what were the revelations? They were written down into what is known as the Quran, the Islamic holy book. However, they were not written down until years later, before Muhammad himself was uneducated and probably did not even know how to write. So what do we hear? It's very similar to that demoniac in which Jesus had to cast demons out of, that he was having an epileptic fit, foaming at the mouth, and Jesus cast demons out of that particular young boy that Scripture talks about. The father had brought him to Jesus and said that he throws himself into the fire. Jesus cast the demons out, and the man, before that was flopping and foaming at the mouth on the ground. So very similar to what we read in Scripture regarding demonic possessions, we read and know about the revelation of the Quran and how it was given to Muhammad. So this is what he means by we test the spirits, because there are demonic spirits that have gone out into the world and they bring about these false teachings. And we remember in 2 Corinthians 11 that the Bible tells us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And so he appeared to Muhammad, he appeared to Joseph Smith, he appeared to Mary Baker Eddy, he appeared to Taz Russell. So these spirits, these angels of light, demonic angels, appear to these individuals in order to give them a revelation. And so we see that we are to test the spirits. How do we know whether this is from God, whether this is not from God? Well, we use the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority because it is inspired, it is inerrant, and is in fact the actual Word of God in which God will judge the living and the dead, is this Bible, 66 books written by over 40 different authors in 3 different languages, which is contrary to what we read about in the Quran, translated and written by Muhammad, or revelation came through Muhammad, or even the Book of Mormon, and these individuals who say that his angel appeared to him and gave him a revelation that was given to one man, and eventually maybe scribed or written down. But when you look at the teachings of the Bible, it was written by a multitude of men over a period of time, 1,500 years, 2,000 years for the New Testament, and over many years, 2,000 years for the Old Testament. So we know that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, where he mentions the dinosaurs, he mentions the Leviathan, he mentions the behemoth. So it was a period of time in which the Bible was written and eventually put together. And so we know that it had to have been God who spoke to all these different men. It wasn't just one individual. It was a multitude of men. So we have this inerrant word of God that we are to use as Christians, and we are to have a healthy amount of skepticism regarding the teachings of that we hear about today. Now, the reason being is that Christians are to be like the Bereans. We are to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts, who examined Scripture, and they determined whether it was truthful or whether it was error. The word test refers to an individual who worked in metal. And what he would do is that he would determine the purity of the metals. He would determine the value of the metals by heating those up and by purifying them. And this is what he means by testing. We are to examine them. We are to look and also to determine whether it's pure or whether it's polluted. And so Christians, we must test anything, any teaching, with the view of approving it or disapproving it, and whether to know whether this is from God or whether it's not from God. So it's important that we be like the Bereans, which were able to examine the Scriptures. And I mean, many times while traveling, that sitting next to Muslims and sitting next to Mormons, I had interacted with an elder from a Mormon temple in Utah, had interactions from Muslims, multitude of Muslims, who say that the Bible and the Quran are the same. Allah and Jesus are the same. We serve the same God, or Allah means God, according to the Muslims. But we know that's not true, because as we discern and as we examine the Scriptures, we see and we know that's not true. For example, the Quran conflicts with the Bible multitude times. For example, the Quran mentions that Pharaoh's wife adopted Moses. This is in Surah 28 of the Quran, verse 9. But we know Exodus chapter 2, verse 10 states that Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. So it wasn't Pharaoh's wife. So we see that the teachings, how do we know whether or not this is from God? Well, how do we know whether or not this is a spirit of truth or a spirit of error? Because we examine the Bible. We examine the teachings of the Bible. So it looks like we have a caller before we get too much further in depth here. Let me take the caller here. You are currently on the air. How can I help you? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, am I on air?
You are on the air. You can go ahead and ask a question.
Well, I was just listening to the station, and I didn't mean to press that button. So I have to hang up and listen.
Okay.
It sounds really good. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Now, we'll continue on. Now, what are some of the differences that we find in the teachings of the Quran? In Surah, now they call the book Surahs, or we call in the Bible chapters. And remember, it's not the Holy Quran, it's the Generous Quran. They only call it holy because we call the Bible holy. So, Surah 5:116 says the Trinity includes Mary. Surah 5, verse 116 states that Christians worship three gods, Father, the Mother Mary, and the Son Jesus. Now, they don't understand, they deny the Trinity, but we know very clearly that the Bible does not teach that Mary is a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see there in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, that what clearly took place is the Father spoke from heaven, said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, and therefore you see the Godhead, the Trinity. We also, according to the Quran, Pharaoh in the Tower of Babel, Surah 28 and verse 38, and also Surah 40, verse 25. The Quran says that man named Haman, the servant of Pharaoh, built a high tower to ascend to God. But the Tower of Babel occurs in Genesis 11, long before there were pharaohs and long before a man named Haman. So obviously, Muhammad or the authors had some knowledge of the Old Testament, some knowledge of Moses and the Pentateuch where he wrote Genesis, and they confused it. So again, these teachings are the spirit of error. They're not from God. Here's another one. The Samaritans built the Israelite calf. It said the Samaritans built the Israelite calf. This is in Surah 20, verses 85 to 97. Now, the Quran says that the calf worshipped by the Israelites on Mount Horeb was molded by the Samaritans. The term Samaritan was not coined until 722, 700 years after Exodus, when the idol was crafted. So again, the book is confusing. It's confused because Satan is the father of lies. He is the author of confusion. So he wants to confuse, and he does confuse. And so when we think about evangelizing the Muslims, we look at it from the perspective that not only are they lost, but they're confused. And most Muslims don't know much about the Quran anyway. But it's good that as believers, that you should know that. Looks like we've got another caller, and we're going to take that now. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Yes. Did you have a question? Hello? Okay, looks like we lost that caller. All right, let's get back to where we were. All right, Saul, for example, led Gideon's army. Now, this is what the Quran teaches. This is in Surah 2:449. Judges 7 indicates Gideon as the leader of the 300-man army of soldiers chosen by God. Surah 2 makes Saul the general of this army, although the king was not even born yet. Here's another one, Surah 4:157. Jesus was not crucified. Now, the Jews boast in Surah 4:115, we crucified Christ. We killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, apostle of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them. So the Quran teaches that it wasn't Jesus who was killed, but it was actually Judas who was disguised or masqueraded by Allah to make him appear as if he was actually Jesus, but he was actually Judas. Now the thing about that is that the Roman soldiers who were mercenaries were experts in killing. Not only that, but Jesus was put on trial a multitude of times, and so they would have known who it was that they were crucifying. Even the Roman soldiers that were there to break his legs, and they understood and acknowledged that Jesus was in fact innocent. So, once again, more confusion. Now, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get through all I wanted to cover today, because we're going to be talking about some of the costs and some of the false teaching. But I just wanted to point out some of the things, guys, that this is how we test the spirits, because here you have a clear teaching of Islam, and what we have to do is compare that with Scripture. And that's how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's how we know whether or not it's from God or whether or not it's not from God. The next thing, as we look in this verse, it says, every spirit that confessed that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, remember, I just read that they deny Muslims, every other false teaching in the world, Mormonism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, all the isms you can imagine, all deny that Jesus, in fact, took on human flesh, that God came down in the form of a man, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world, that he lived a sinless life, that he was born of a virgin. This is what they deny. Now, the Quran may acknowledge that Jesus was born a virgin, but they clearly teach that Allah has no God. Allah has no son, is what I meant to say. Now, that is something that is clearly taught in the Quran. Now, the first test of a true teacher is that they acknowledge to proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate in the human flesh. That is how you know whether or not a person is actually born again, is that they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. So it looks like we have another caller here. Let's take this call. It looks like from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, Minister Glover. First, let me just say that I'm just really grateful to you for your show, and I appreciate the message that you are disseminating. And I do have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
As Christians, can you just kind of talk about how we can recognize or how we're able to differentiate the truth from error? Can you kind of talk about that?
Okay, excellent question, and thank you for calling from Indianapolis. We appreciate your support and your time for calling in. So let me address that issue. I think that's an excellent, excellent question. How do we know truth from error, guys? Again, we have to become familiar with God's word. Again, as I just read about testing the spirits, discerning whether or not something is from God, and so you've got to hear what's being said. And number one, the Holy Spirit that you have within you, if you're a born-again believer, when you hear something that does not fit right in your spirit, and if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're filled with the Word of God, you're going to know whether or not what you're hearing is actually the Word of God. So if someone says that Jesus Christ was only a man, Jesus Christ sinned, well, how do you know? Well, you go to 1 Peter where it says that he was without sin, that he was spotless, he was without wrinkle. Or you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that Jesus Christ was sinless, and let me find that verse real quick, and that he took our sin and we took his righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and again, this is how you test the spirits, whether or not you know, whether or not it's how you examine. Make sure this is a spirit of error, spirit of truth. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become his righteousness, or become the righteousness of God in him. So clearly, the Bible teaches that he knew no sin, that Jesus was sinless, and that what he did, because he is God, and that I cannot atone for your sins, and you cannot atone for my sins, is that Jesus Christ actually took on human flesh to bear our sin debt on the cross, so that I might stand before God righteous. And it's not my own righteousness that I save, but it's through Christ, his righteousness, that I receive forgiveness of my sin. And so how do we do that? How do we test the spirits? From the caller, is that you take the word of God and you apply it. That simple. Like the Bereans, they examine everything to see whether or not it was from God or whether or not it was error or truth. So one of the things that we know for sure is that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, though it might be denied by all the other religions, and that is what sets us completely apart from false teachers and false religions, is that we believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Now, you have to understand that means they confess Christ, some of them do, as having come to earth, but they confess that he came in the flesh to earth. His human body was physical, it was real. Both the full humanity and the full deity of Jesus must be equally maintained by the teacher who is to be considered genuinely of the Spirit. So you've got to be able to understand that, yeah, Jesus Christ was 100% man, Jesus Christ was 100% God. And that is how you know that this person is actually someone who is from God, because they actually acknowledge that. Now, we talked about Mitt Romney that, and the teachings of Mormonism, that these gods on other planets produced Jesus, and then Jesus came down and the form of a man, but again, his origin contradicted what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is God. He's always pre-existed. He wasn't birthed on some planet somewhere. He was only birthed through the Virgin Mary in order to take on human flesh, in order to come down in the form of a man to pay our sin debt. So Jesus, because he was in fact a man, can identify with our sin, can identify with our struggles, can identify with what we go through, having never sinned, but he can identify with that. That's what makes him our great high priest who intercedes for us. So that is how one of the ways you know regarding a person is from God. Now, one of the things that we can expect in the last days, as John mentioned, is that the spirit of the Antichrist. He mentions the spirit of someone who is against Christ. And we see today most of the teaching, the cults today, are against Christ. Even this ecumenical movement that we see today that is trying to unify into this one world religion that the Antichrist will one day head up, how are they unifying? Because they deny the deity of Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is in fact God. And that is what's going to unify the Muslim or the Hindu or the Buddhist or the Christian scientist or the science of the mind, the religion science, the unity school of Christianity. All of these teachings that we see today, that is what's going to bring them together. And the Antichrist is going to fall right into position because of the fact that he too will present himself to be God, but in fact, he is the Antichrist. And he's going just to use this ecumenical, this one world religion. He eventually is going to use it and destroy it. So again, we must be prepared. And how do we know whether a person is from God or not? Because they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is virgin born, that he is God incarnate, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How do we know that they're from God? Because they accept Scripture and they believe the Scripture as it being inerrant and that it is incorrupted. You'll hear from the Muslim that Scriptures are corrupted. But we'll have to, we don't have much time. We'll have to come back to this. I think we have one more caller. And we'll try to squeeze them in before we end today. Yes, ma'am, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, it's me, Steve, and I was just calling in to let the listeners know that we appreciate their support and that we would also appreciate any questions or suggestions for upcoming episodes that they might be able to think of and send to us, and we will receive those at gloversforchrist@aol.com. That's Glovers, G-L-O, V as in victory, E-R-S, the number 4, and Christ, of course, C-H-R-I-S-T, @aol.com. And we have certainly appreciated coming through our first week of broadcasting this past week and coming into our first day of this week, and I'm looking forward to a lot more lessons on dealing with false religion, false teaching, and the occult, because the information that you started today was certainly wonderful, and we really appreciated that. So I just wanted to, again, encourage people to stay in contact with us, either by email or check us out. You can also download the program at Blog Talk Radio, Evangelize for Life. That's the number 4, Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover. And that is at www.blogtalkradio.com. Stephen's website is located at www.evangelizeforlife.org. That's www.evangelizeforlife.org. And so we just wanted to give that information, and thank you again, Stephen, for some great information and a great program today.
All right. Well, thank you. That was our mobile producer calling from the cell phone, and we appreciate it. But you guys tune in tomorrow. God bless.